Now, in the ongoing healthcare debate, we hear a lot about coverage, efficiency, cost containment. Our next guest says we need to make sure we don't overlook one of the most fundamental parts of medicine, the relationship between the doctor and the patient. In a world of high technology medical equipment, a growing list of medications, and a huge healthcare bureaucracy, our guest calls for physicians and patients to keep that human connection at the center of medical care. How to do that? Her prescription is slow medicine. Dr. Victoria Sweet is the author of Slow Medicine, The Way to Healing. She's an associate clinical professor of medicine at the University of California, San Francisco. Dr. Sweet, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Well, thank you so much for having me.
Well, your book, you tell the story of your medical career and really how it brought you to this concept of, and other people too, to the concept of slow medicine. Let's start with, what do we mean by slow medicine?
Well, it's an interesting, it's sort of a countercultural concept, but it comes out of this whole slow movement and started out of the slow food movement, which of course started a long time ago. And a number of doctors, not just myself, about 15 years ago, started thinking about medicine in the same way as if we need slow food, we sure need slow medicine. So slow medicine, the way I think of it is, you might say, the opposite of our fast food model of healthcare that has overtaken us in probably the last 10 years or so. This idea that factory model, that you want to, you know, buy cheap and sell high. This idea that healthcare is an industry and people should make money on it, as opposed to being something where you take care of people when they're sick. This is kind of the essence of the matter. So it's in opposition. It's not so much that it's slower time-wise, but it has a different style, in the same way that slow food has a different style from fast food and a different goal and a different object.
Right. How does that work differently for a doctor talking to a patient? As you say, it doesn't mean necessarily taking an hour that you probably don't have anyway, but it's an attitude, it sounds like. How does that manifest itself?
It's a style. It does need a certain kind of time, however. And so one of the things I've noticed in the past, one of the reasons I wrote this book is because I'm not a natural-born doctor. So for me, I didn't come from a family of docs, and medicine was kind of a strange world for me for a long time. And that made me a little bit naive in a good way, I think. And so I only gradually came to this conclusion that medicine is a relationship, and it's even a spiritual practice when done well. I came to it slowly, and what I came to was, first of all, so I was practicing all during this whole transition, and the more we talked about efficiency, the more I gradually realized that all the kinds of things that were instituted to make us more efficient actually made us less efficient, took more time, such things as the electronic health records, for instance, or these ideas that doctors should be follow algorithms, that they should collect big data for the healthcare companies. These ideas that are supposed to make us efficient actually makes us inefficient. And what I mean by that is, to me, the essence of efficiency in medicine is when I get the right diagnosis and the right treatment for the least amount of money. That's my definition of healthcare efficiency, and we're headed in the kind of opposite direction.
Right, you make the case, and you give a lot of examples of this, Dr. Sweet, where you follow that algorithm, you follow the procedure, and you end up with blinders on sometimes, or a doctor can end up with blinders. We lock in on one thing, and we miss the whole patient, we miss the whole story, and we miss, in some cases, the real diagnosis.
That happened a lot, because it turned out, one of the reasons I got to see this is I mostly practiced in kind of clinics for the poor, and the last place where I practiced the longest, I wrote a book about, which was called Laguna Honda Hospital in San Francisco, and I ended up there for 20 years, and it was a place that was over the hill to the poorhouse, where it was a big old hospital where we didn't have a lot of technology. We had access to technology if we needed it. We're around the block from UC San Francisco's big hospital. But at the same time, we kind of weren't paid attention to in quite the same way as a doc in a private practice has had to pay attention himself to his bottom line. So I did have the time, the sort of free time, to examine my patient, carefully, sometimes re-examine them, talk to the family, talk to the patient, get the old records. And what I found was I was more and more impressed as my career in medicine went on by how efficient that was in terms of not getting the wrong diagnosis and getting the right diagnosis. So I would have somebody come in. I'll give you one example. This particular patient came in. He was in his 50s. He came in because he'd been getting weaker and weaker, and he couldn't walk anymore, and he'd been at the technological hospital, the acute care hospital, for 2 months, and nobody had been able to figure out what was wrong with him. And I have this very old-fashioned, what I call my medical student exam from head to toe that I do on all my patients. And the first thing after I greeted him, I put my hands on his head to examine from head to toe, and I found he had lumps. He had cancer on his scalp from, it turned out, to be a cancer in his esophagus that had metastasized all around his body but hadn't come out on any of the CT scans and the MRI scans, and nobody else had examined his head. So he had the wrong diagnosis, and then he had the right diagnosis, and he could get treated for the right diagnosis. And that was, you talk about efficient, that was about the most efficient procedure anybody could have done, but nobody did it, and nobody does it anymore because it takes time, and most doctors now in the pursuit of efficiency are stuck looking at their computers. And in the last 10 years, that has been, to me, that's kind of my bug in my ear now, because I see that most of my doctor friends spend literally all their time on their computers because all the records, of course, have migrated there. Everything's migrated there, and they don't have the time to swing their chair around and look, listen to, and examine their patient. Very simple.
Talking to Dr. Victoria Sweet. Her new book is Slow Medicine, The Way to Healing. Dr. Sweet, I want to take you to a moment in your training as a doctor. It's the midst of the AIDS crisis. I think you're in San Francisco at this point. Mm-hmm. You're thinking of leaving the profession. It's exhausting. It's overwhelming in some ways. And all of a sudden, something happens and you become a patient. Can you tell us that story?
Yeah, I call that whole chapter turnaround, because it was a turnaround for me. So at the time, even more than now, being a medical resident, so being in the midst of your training, you have 4 years of medical school, then you have 3 years in the hospital. And it's gotten a little bit easier, but back then we would work 36 hours at a time. And I was at Kaiser in San Francisco right in the middle of the AIDS epidemic. So it was absolutely, and we had no treatment at the time yet for AIDS, so it was horrendous. We had literally lines of patients in that ER out the door, and people were dying all the time. And I had finally reached the end of my limit. I just couldn't do it anymore. I didn't see the point. It was one of those crises of conscience that we get now and then. I had decided to quit, even though that would mean I wouldn't finish my training. I just couldn't stand it anymore. And then one night, when I was turning this all over in my mind, I was in the hospital, and I crushed my finger in a door. I thought I'd amputated my finger. I collapsed. I passed out. Of course, I didn't know I passed out. And I woke up in the emergency room with one of the emergency room docs looking at me, and in the most compassionate way possible. And it was particularly important to me because this was an ER doc I didn't like. I couldn't stand him up until that moment, and he had sewed up my finger. He'd done the x-rays. By the time I woke up, I had an IV in. There were nurses around, and at that moment, lying there, looking to his face, I had a complete change of heart, because I realized that when you're a patient, this is what you need, and this is what I, as a doctor, get to do, is when I'm vulnerable, I'm a patient, I'm frightened, there's nothing I can do for myself, that's what the doctor's about, that's what the hospital's about, and that it's really a spiritual profession.
We're talking, go ahead.
Yeah, so at that point, I was like, no, I'm going to do this, and I did finish, and I've never lost that sense of being really moved by the practice of medicine and what it means in our society, particularly as we get more and more commodified, not just for medicine, but for everything. Everything becomes something to sell, to buy, to put up for sale, and not just medicine, but teachings like this, writings like this. All of our professions have gone this same way.
We're talking to Dr. Victoria Sweet. She's the author of the new book, Slow Medicine, The Way to Healing. She's an associate clinical professor of medicine at the University of California, San Francisco. She's with us to talk about her book and why she says we need to shift our thinking when it comes to practicing medicine for the benefit of doctors and patients. You can join in at 800-642-1234. If you are a doctor or other healthcare provider, a nurse, are you practicing medicine the way you wish you could? If you're a patient, what changes would you like to see when you visit your doctor? Do you feel like you're being treated as a whole person when you go for that appointment? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. We'll pick up the conversation coming up on Central Time. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We're continuing our conversation about the doctor-patient relationship. Our guest is Dr. Victoria Sweet, author of the book Slow Medicine, The Way to Healing. You can join in at 800-642-1234. What do you think of the medical care you've gotten lately? Do you feel like the staff, the doctors, and others are paying attention to you, hearing you, seeing what's going on? If you work in healthcare, what do you like about how it works? What do you wish could change? What do you think of this idea of slow medicine? Call 800-642-1234 or email ideas@wpr.org. To your calls now, Tina is with us in Green Bay. Tina, hi.
Hi. I am an OB nurse, and about 5 years ago, I actually changed from bedside nursing to working for an insurance company as a case manager. So it's a very different type of practicing, but I spend my whole day talking with pregnant ladies, and I hear every day how they're very grateful because I take time to explain things and talk with them and answer their questions that their doctors never do because they just seem like they're so rushed and busy.
Tina, thanks for that call. And Dr. Sweet, the workload for doctors can make it hard to do some of the things you're talking about. Is that right?
Yes, yes. But it doesn't really have to be that way because we waste so much time. The thing that I've been focusing on recently is docs actually have the same time pretty much we always had per patient, which is about 15 minutes. And it used to take us, when we had our paper charts, a couple of minutes to write our notes. But since the efficient electronic health records entered our lives, it now takes anywhere doctors between 10 and 18 minutes to write that same note because they have to write it on the computer. Consequently, doctors are spending all their time navigating that instead of simply turning around. So my sort of piece right now is if we want our doctors to be able to turn their chair around once again, look at us, listen to us, and examine us, we have to get the time that they're spending on the computer back. And I think we can do that because the problem with the computer records is they're terrible. They're badly designed, and they suck all our time out, and they don't have to be that way. So I think we do have the time, but I think it's being wasted.
Tina, thanks for that call. Go next to Joshua in the Upper Peninsula. Joshua, hi.
Hi. I'm a practicing cardiologist in central Wisconsin, and I agree wholeheartedly with your assessment that the electronic record is a colossal waste of time, very frustrating, and at the end of most of my days, I feel like I've spent 95% of my time as a keyboard jockey. Mm-hmm. A computer programmer and not a doctor.
Joshua, thanks a lot for calling and sharing your story. Isn't there a payoff, Dr. Sweet? I mean, when I'm a patient, they look at the records, they can look back at my tests and how they've done over the last bunch of years or my last physical therapy exercise, they can print it off for me again. Is there a payoff, an upside to this?
There should be a payoff, and I don't think it's the electron's fault that there isn't. These are just very badly designed. So you should be able to do what you're talking about. And in fact, with paper records, we could also do that. But what's happened is the electronic medical records actually evolved out of a billing system from the 80s. So it is a very clumsy piece of code, and that's what needs to be changed. So we should be able to get all the benefits of electricity out of them, but we're not. What's happening is your caller, the cardiologist, was exactly right. There's been studies done to actually document this. The most recent study I know, Kaiser here in California, apparently, I heard this through the grapevine, wanted to see because their doctors were all whining about how much time they spent on the computer. So Kaiser said, well, let's
find out. So they actually kept track in two hospitals of their doctor's keystrokes for 2 months. They figured out exactly how much time their doctors were spending on the computer. And it turned out that when you took all those, added all those seconds up and divided by the number of doctors, that the doctors were spending 10 hours out of their 8-hour day on the computer, filling in boxes, typing in their passwords, waiting for the stuff to load. So that's what we have to fix, because we should be able to do what you're talking about, and it shouldn't be difficult to have a beautiful electronic health record. I imagine one that looks like an old-fashioned chart, but is made out of electricity, kind of like an e-book chart, where your doctor can write it in or talk into it or type into it or whatever he or she wants, and that we have artificial intelligence entering all the boxes if they need to be entered.
So how do we get to where you want to be from where we are now? How can we fix the electronic record? I guess
right.
That's a big step, but also change that attitude to a more of a slow medicine attitude.
Well, that's a beautiful question. And the good news is I've had the chance for the last 5 years since my first book, God's Hotel, came out to really go all over the world and talk to people, but also listen. And there, we think of the really, so that their medical students, the nursing students, the residents, they want to practice the way I'm talking about. So we don't have to convince them. We just have to give them the space to do it and then model and mentor that. So one of the reasons I wrote this particular book is because I wanted to capture what I meant, especially for the medical students, the nursing students, and policy people, because I think if you've not been sick yourself, you're not a doctor or nurse, and you've never been in the hospital, it doesn't seem so bad to practice healthcare as if it were fast food delivery. It's only once that happens. So I think we first have to get doctors back there, and nurses, and nurse practitioners, and physician assistants, everybody back their time, their free time to do what I'm talking about. Then we need to make sure we haven't forgotten what that entails, that style, fundamentally of just getting quiet, looking, observing, listening, examining, and then thinking. It's actually pretty simple.
We'll leave it there for now. Dr. Sweet, thanks a lot for spending the time with us today.
Thank you so much for having me. Thank you very much.
That's Dr. Victoria Sweet. We've been talking about her new book. It's called Slow Medicine, The Way to Healing. She's an associate clinical professor of medicine at the University of California, San Francisco. Still time to share your thoughts on the issues she's raised. You can do that over on the Ideas Network Facebook page.